So when we left off, we were talking about the malacha of dash, and we got into a discussion about ice. So let's go back to that. Okay, Simon Shinchov, Siv Tess. Let's look at it again. Let's look at the Siv again, and we'll talk.
What's
Siv? Siv Tess. Okay, Josh, why don't you read for us?
Ashtaleh v'avarad ein mor sikinotam ta'inu l'shavarav l'achatitot akolot yeish yazuru me'imahav aval noten hu v'tolch kosh al yayin omayim hu nimuach me'elav v'eino v'shesh v'chen im anicham v'chama v'kenegev ha'medirav v'nishayu v'mutarim.
Okay, so you're not allowed to crush ice or snow in order to make water. What you can do is you can put it into a cup and let it melt by itself. You can put it into a cup of wine or water in order to cool off your drink. And so too, if you put it near a fire, not in a place where it can get hot, but you just put it in a bowl there, so then as well, that would be permitted. There are the
ice into a hot drink.
Yeah, you can also put it into a hot drink as long as it's not clearly shown, which we'll discuss when we get to Bishul. Okay, so you make yourself hot tea,
so
a hot bowl of soup. You can put ice in. What's that?
So let's say like one of those hot water urns. Is that considered a clearly shown?
The urn is a clearly shown. When you pour the water into the cup, now when it's in the cup, it's in a cliché. Okay, now Josh was medayik yesterday from the Lashon HaShulchan Aruch. It says you can put the ice into a drink. That's what it says. No sein hu l'soch kosel yayin o mayim. But what about putting the ice into the cup and then pouring the drink onto the cup? Maybe that should be worse. Why would you think that should be worse? Because when you pour your warm drink onto your ice cubes, that counts as actively melting it. Just like when you go and you crush it, you're actively melting it. So too, when you pour the liquid on it, that's called actively melting it.
So
yeah?
You should put the ice in last.
Right. That was Josh's diuk. I saw in the Sefer Piskei Tshuvos that he says, like Josh, that you should put the liquid in first, then the ice. However, Rabbi Ribiat, in the Third Nine Malachs book, does not think that this is correct. He thinks that it does not make a difference. He notes that some are machmir like this, but he thinks that it really does not make a difference. And he points here to the... One second. I'll just point out, look here in Sifkot and Lamed Dalet, Veino Choshesh. So, why not? And this is the case where he puts it into the drink. Josh, read for us the Mishnah Berurah.
Kevan zelo avir maseh v'yadayim v'lo gaz ruba. V'yesh matirin afiul or asek v'yadayim l'toch hakos v'tam de kevan shini darev v'meshe v'toch hakos v'yeno v'ayin lo gaz ruba klo.
Okay, so the Mishnah here quotes an opinion that even to actually physically crush it directly into the drink is okay, because it's not nikar. There's nothing standalone that's recognizable that comes out of it. Again, we're assuming, there's a machlokas about this, as we mentioned yesterday, but we're assuming that the issur is because it's similar to mefarik. It's similar to squeezing out, let's say, a fruit and getting the juice. So that's only true when you end up with a result of liquid that everyone can see and appreciate. If you're crushing it directly into a cup of water, you can't see what's the result of your action. So the Mishnah Berurah even quotes an opinion that you're allowed to actively crush it. So it's even one more step removed to say, not only can you not crush it, but even to pour liquid on it, which is not the same as actively crushing it. I would say further, Josh. I'd say further. If we're assuming that the whole point is that it's similar to mefarik, so that's when you're crushing, because crushing is the same action as mefarik. But pouring is not the action of mefarik. There certainly is a lot of room to distinguish here. There's certainly a lot of room to distinguish between the cases and to say that it's mutter to pour the liquid onto the ice.
I don't know. I just don't like
He's machmir. Fine. He's not the only one. He's not the only one. He didn't decide a crazy thing. However, if you ask my humble opinion, I think there's room to be mekel. Yeah.
If it doesn't matter, shouldn't you just put the ice in last? Just
why not? Okay. Yo's toe. Fine. Why not? Okay. Now, the truth is, the Mishnah Brewery here, look in Sifkot and Lamed Hei. Okay? This is where the Mechaber said that you can eat, that if you take ice and put it into a kli and put the kli in the sun, or you put the kli near a fire, you're allowed to use the water. You're allowed to use the melted water. Now look here in the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Lamed Hei. Got me.
Leanos, ma'am.
Mutarim leanos, ma'am. It goes together. So the Mechaber phrases it in a way which leaves a little room for doubt. He says you can put if you put the ice in a bowl and you put the bowl in the sun and it melts, you can use the water. But are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to put the ice into a bowl and put the bowl in the sun? So the Mishnah Berurah clarifies, yes, you are allowed to do so. Continue on. Okay, this is why we learned the Mishnah Berurah. This is why we paid the Mishnah Berurah big bucks, so to speak. So the Mishnah Berurah points out that even though the Rama does not argue over here, if you got to look in, Simon Shin Yud Ches. Maybe we should have done that before we saw Simon Shin Chaf, and maybe we could have made this connection. So according to what the Rama writes in Shin Yud Ches, it would be room to be machmir over here as well. Okay, and this would be different than putting the ice directly into the drink. When you're putting the ice into the drink, the water is not nikar. You don't see the result of the melting. But when you put it into its own bowl, and it melts, now you have a whole bowl of water.
Isn't there a different, maybe like Bishul?
Nola, right?
It's not going to be, Bishul, we're going to learn the rules of Bishul separately. It's not Bishul unless you heat it up. Here you're not heating it, you're not making it hot. You're just putting it in a place where it's going to melt. Okay, you're putting it in the sun, it's not going to get up to Yad Soledes Bo. Okay, put it near a fire. Now we're not talking about on the fire or right on, but near the fire and enough that it's going to melt, but not that it's going to get hot. Okay, if it doesn't get hot, it's definitely not Bishul. Okay, you know, flip for a second to Shin Yud Ches.
Well,
we're not, but yeah,
it's like
I suppose so. Shin Yud Ches is the simon of Bishul. And move over to Siv Tes Zayin. Siv Tes Zayin, you ready? You all have a place? Says the Mechaber, Mutar Litein in Panda, Kineged O'esh, B'mokum Shayad Soledes, V'afal Pi Shashuman Shebar Shenikrash, Chozer V'nimoach. So this is, the Mishnah Berurah says, Pashtida. In any event, what they would basically do is they would make some sort of a doughy, like a stuffed, dough stuffed with fat, basically. Okay? And when you'd heat it up, you'd warm it up, the fat would melt. Nonetheless, that's not called bishul, and you're allowed to do this. Says the Rama, V'koshken k'deirosh yesh barotav shenikrash, etc. Then he says, V'yesh machmirin. There are those who are machmir. V'nogu lahachmir. The minig is to be machmir miyu, however, b'makom tzorech yesh lismach asvar rishono. In a time of need, you're allowed to be somech on the original opinion. So the Rama writes that to change the form of something, this gets back to the issue of nolad, molid, nolad, right? Changing the form from a solid to a liquid, that the Rama says that one should be machmir unless it's a situation of significant need. So if you have congealed gravy and it's going to melt, so the Rama would not be in favor of that lechatchila. We'll have to talk about this more when we get to Bishul. So the Mishnah Berurah connects it over here. He says over here too as well, to go ahead and to take this ice and put it in a place where it's bedafka, there's something that's going to melt it, like near a heat source or in the sun. So then that's kind of similar to that, and the Rama would want you to be machmir lechatchila. There are those who suggest that that's only, we have to translate this into modern terms, okay? That's in those cases because you're putting it near a fire. You're putting it in the sun, in a place where there's a factor that's going to melt it. Okay, but let's say you're just going to take it out of the freezer and leave it in your kitchen. There's nothing melting it. It's just that you've removed what was freezing it. Right? In the olden days, if you had ice, that's because it was cold. They didn't have freezers. It was cold. The natural habitat was that it was cold. And you're taking and you're putting it somewhere where it's warmer. Or where there's direct sun rays. Okay, so that's going to melt it. Bizman hazeh, it's not cold, it's room temperature, right? But we put it in the freezer, so there's something changing it from a liquid into a solid. When you take it out of the freezer, it's just going back to its natural form. So there's room to be makel to allow something, if you want to take something out of the freezer, let's say you have a frozen drink in the freezer, you want to take it out so that it'll melt. There's room to allow that. What would definitely be a problem, though, is to bang on it, to crush it in order to make it melt faster. That would be a problem. Right? But just to leave it out, there's room to be makel. On the flip side, though, to go ahead and translate the Rama into our terms, so to take water and to put it in the freezer to make ice cubes, that should be avoided. You're changing it from the liquid to the solid. That would be we're choshesh lechatchila for the issue of molid / nolid there. Okay, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchos writes, if you put it in before Shabbos, even if it's not solid yet, that's okay, you can use it on Shabbos, but you shouldn't put it in on Shabbos.
I think more sense that Sfarim would say that you could put ice on, like, near fire.
Why?
Because they heat liquid on Shabbos. You don't heat liquid on Shabbos.
Nobody heats liquid on Shabbos, excuse me. That's not true.
Don't they put stuff in where that has liquid in it? Can they put it back on?
We'll talk about the details when we get to Bishul. To just take a liquid that's not...
Not straight liquid.
Yeah. You're talking about something which is a mix of solid and liquid?
Yeah.
Okay, that's different. That's because they're... Those who are making on that, it's because they don't define it as a liquid. All right, we'll talk about that when we get to Bishul. Yeah.
Can you use ice from here, the refrigerators that have the ice machine?
Yeah.
It was made on Shabbos. No, ice popped down on Shabbos.
Yeah.
Can you use that ice?
You can use it.
Yeah.
Well,
I would say you can't use it.
Even if the ice tray was empty before Shabbos, you would still say you could use it? Wouldn't you have to say that there happened to be ice in there before and you couldn't tell which ice was made on Shabbos or which one wasn't made on Shabbos?
Kachri, I hear what you're saying, Misvara. I seem to remember seeing in Shmir Shabbos that he allows it. So I'll try to look back and see the reason. It's a good question. It's a fair question, but I think I remember in Shmir Shabbos they said it was mutter. So bli neder tomorrow. I'll come back and tell you why. Okay. Beseder. Okay.
Usually you're not allowed to have klinoa from something that.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, the only question is if we're kosher for the issue of nolad, so then why? Okay, you'd certainly, just to conclude that discussion, you'd certainly be allowed to take ice cubes. Sometimes you see people that take ice cubes, put in a bowl on the table in case anyone wants to put in their drink. That certainly would be allowed.
Shouldn't you put water in first?
You don't have to put water in first. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. Okay. What about those icy days? We don't have them in Beit Shemesh. But where you come from, you probably have those icy days. So you're allowed to go ahead and put down salt outside to melt the ice?
No.
So Rabbi Ribiat, in his Sefer, allows it. He says, Mutter.
I would say mutter is only enough to make a path, so it's not just kind of hard to say. You can't just go up.
What's
it
melting
water?
Okay. Grass?
What is the grass?
Like, what grass is there
it's
when
saturated? No, it's under. It's underneath.
It's already saturated with it. It's already saturated.
There's a lot of stuff. There's a whole grass is still there.
In any event, you just normally don't do it on grass. You know, I don't think you normally do it on concrete, but. He says it's mutter. First of all, this is not comparable to risuk. You're not actively with your hands, you know, crushing, melting. It's grama. It's indirect. Not only is it indirect, but the main point of the issue of risuk karach of crushing ice is if you need the liquid. Here you don't need the liquid. And finally, it's to protect from injury. So even if we would say that. No, there's some sort of an Isser Derabbanan which you're doing indirectly, which already makes it a very kal Isser Derabbanan. They were not gozer in cases where people are going to get hurt, and therefore he comes out with a heter. You're allowed to put down the salt on Shabbos. To put down sand might be a little bit more of a question.
Why is that?
Because the sand is going to stay there. The salt dissolves eventually. Sand is going to stay there, and so it's like adding a new layer to the ground. So maybe you can view that as bona. Maybe you could view that as bona. But to put out the salt, that's the best alternative anyway. So that was
that
Rabbi Ribiyat. I didn't see it discussed in Shemir Shabbos. But if my understanding is correct, I think this is the standard assumption that it's permitted. Okay. While we're on the topic, it should just be noted that you're not allowed to make snowmen on Shabbos.
Or
snowballs in Shabbos. Even though we do not assume that the snow is muktzah. However, to go ahead and to make it into shapes, that's a problem. Okay, this should be avoided. Alrighty, there is another important discussion we need to have. Whew, right over here, Simon Shinchov. Yes.
I guess this is not just common, but it's something else. Like also, like you're walking on like a bed, let's say on Shabbos, like the bottom of your shoes have writing on it.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. It's okay. We'll talk about it when we get to the issue of kosev. But la'alocha, it's okay. Okay, look at Simon. Look at Seif Yud Zayin. We're back here in Simon Shinchov. Seif Yud Zayin. So Zach, go ahead. Okay, so he says it's a problem to use a sponge on Shabbos. What is the problem? So it says here, Shema Yisrot, you may come to squeeze out the liquid from the sponge. Schita. Schitas begodim. Squeezing liquid that is absorbed in material. Here the assumption is, this is not like a sponge that we have today. The assumption they're talking about is that it's made out of wool. But you're going to come to squeeze out the liquid. So there's a machlokas or rishonim. What exactly is the isser involved here? So the Rambam thinks that this is not really related to anything we've been discussing until now. This is a tolda of a different malacha, of melabe, laundering. Part of the laundering process is that you squeeze out the water. Once you've soaked it, you squeeze out the water from the garment. But Tosus is of the opinion that this is a tolda of dosh. This is basically another version of mefarik. Okay?
Does he hold the same thing for a towel?
Towels as well, same way you mean.
I'm saying that they have the same machloket.
Look, it also depends why you're doing it. If you're squeezing out the liquid in order to use the liquid, that's a little more similar to mefarik. If you're squeezing it out, not because you want the liquid, but because you want the garment to be dry now. So that's more similar to libun. Uh-huh. So it may depend on the circumstances. So let us, we'll have to discuss this again when we get to melamin, when we get to laundering. But just look here in the Mishnah Brura, in Sivkot and Memches. You know, while we're here, we might as well discuss a little bit now as well. So Zach, look at the Mishnah Brura.
Which one?
Memches.
Katav Bibe Or Hagra Shetaut. Sofer who bitter lomar mishim schita deha minan bagamar defzik resha mishim di efshar shalos chod kashel chazatav betz batav
Okay, so he writes here, the problem is not that maybe you'll come to squeeze it out. The problem, that would be okay. That would be what we call a davar sheino miskaven. If you don't intend to squeeze it out, and you may or may not end up squeezing out liquid, that would be permitted. The problem here is that it is a psik resha. It's definitely going to happen. So, for example, to go out and to wash dishes on Shabbos with a sponge, that is a problem. It's a problem. They have some of these Shabbos sponges, usually they don't work very well, which don't absorb. They're not absorbent, so there's no water in there to squeeze out. That's why they don't work that well. Yeah, it's not really a sponge. It's a, I don't know what to call it. Or they have these brushes. So they have like they work with bristles. So that in and of itself is a discussion. If the bristles, is there schita when it comes to bristles? So it depends. It depends if they're able to absorb. Maybe it depends. In Shmir Shabbos he writes that if the water falls out of the bristles anyway, without you squeezing it or applying any pressure, so then there's no schita involved. If not, if it holds water until you push it in some way or squeeze it, so then there is a problem. Schita. Okay, this we'll talk more. We'll talk more about this. We'll talk more about this when we get to Libun. We'll have to talk about wiping up spills and baby wipes and brushing teeth and all kinds of interesting discussions related to this issue of schita. Okay, one more discussion that we're not going to really get into, but just to mention that it exists, based on this malacha of dash / mefarik, is the issue of milking cows on Shabbos, let's say. So milking the cow...
Oh, he's not here.
What's that?
Oh, he's not here.
Where is Avi? Tell him about this. I don't know if he knows.
I don't want to make him feel worse.
No, it's okay. So he needs to know.
Salmon run.
He needs to know. Any event, so you're not allowed to do that. You're taking the liquid out of the cow. That's basically the same thing as squeezing liquid out of a fruit or a similar idea. Basically, you're taking the liquid out of the place where it's naturally contained or absorbed. So that is a problem.
This is a malacha.
So what they say is, on the one hand, this is a problem. On the other hand, if you can lower it to a din derabanan, so then the chachamim were concerned about tsar balei chayim. It's painful for the animal. So if you do it onto the ground, so it's holech liibud, you're not using it, then it is a malacha she'ena tzrich lagufa. Because you're doing the action, but not for the normal purpose. You don't want to use it. So that's a malacha, that's only also mid derabanan, so tsar balei chayim. So there are those who allow, preferably by a guy. If you can get a guy to do it, if not, then even a Jew can do it.
Are you allowed to have an half if a guy does it?
If a guy does it, so no, you don't know. You would not be allowed to benefit from it. That would be a problem. What's that?
What about a robot?
Oh, so bizman hazeh, it's mostly automated, and they have all kinds of systems. Some of the systems, there's absolutely no human intervention at all. Even on weekdays, there's no human intervention. It's all robotic. The cow knows when it needs to get milked. It walks into the stall, hangs out there, gets a little treat of like, hay or something, and the robot just hooks on and milks it. So this would still be an issue. This would still be an issue if you're going to use the milk. I think if you're going to use the milk, this would still be questionable. But if they don't use it, so then there's nothing wrong with it. That definitely is permitted. One of you, just to be mayor, one of you mentioned the issue of using the milk. Just in terms of contemporary hilchos kashrus in Israel. So, there's mahadrin and non-mahadrin. So you can get milk which is mahadrin and milk which is non-mahadrin. What's the difference? There's not really much of a difference in terms of hilchos kashrus. It's milk is milk. What's the difference? So one of the main differences is that the Mahadran ones make sure they're not getting milk from dairies that are open for business on Shabbos. They go ahead and use the milk that's produced on Shabbos. The non-Mahadran ones, sometimes they do get milk from those places. So it's once it's all mixed up, it's mutter. Once it's all mixed up, it's mutter. You're definitely not eating something treif. It's a Hilchos Shabbos question. It's not a Hilchos Kashrus question. Obviously, we want to support Shemir Shabbos. That's a separate consideration. But that is something that's there. Similarly, for nursing mothers as well, to express milk, so that would be if it's being done to use, to hold on to and use, that also would be a problem similar to the animal. Although, meaning if it's obviously to nurse the baby's mother, if it's being done to alleviate pain, so that would be permissible under certain circumstances. Okay, we're going to move on. Rabbeisai, we start a new malacha. What's our next malacha? Who has your list? Zoreh. Okay, Zoreh really goes along together with the next malacha, which is Borer. They really are two separate malachas, but they really are meant to accomplish the same thing. And Merakit also, sifting. There are three malachas which really go together. They accomplish the same thing, which is separating the good stuff from the bad stuff. They're all grouped together. It's just they're performed in a slightly different fashion.
Different forms of winnowing.
A different form. So Zoreh means winnowing. The way they would do it, Jonathan, with me over here.
I am.
The way they would do it is like this. The chiddush of Zoreh is that you harness the forces of nature to accomplish your malacha for you. Right. So what they would do is, we just threshed. So now we have a whole pile of kernels that are separated from, but mixed together with chaff. Now the chaff, we want to separate them. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to take these shovels, kind of things. We toss it up into the air, especially if it's windy. This is great because the chaff is heavier than the grain. So the wind will carry the chaff further. The grain will basically fall down more or less right where I threw it. The chaff will land a couple of feet away. And this is it's not going to be a perfect system. That's why I'm still going to need to do Borer and Merake. But it's going to be pretty decent. It's going to accomplish the first round of separation. Okay, so to harness the forces of nature to separate for you, that's Zoreh. Borer then, if now I still have mixed up with my kernels, I still have some chaff. So I simply pick out the chaff. And I get rid of it. That is what we call Borer.
The little kid Shabbos
Borer.
Book. Good pictures.
Good pictures in the little kid Shabbos book recommended by Josh Jacobs. Okay, Borer is going to be a very, very important malacha. We're going to learn together for the next few days. It is something which is very relevant la'alacha. Very relevant la'alacha. If you do not learn the halachas of Borer, you will undoubtedly violate them at some point, probably on a regular basis. If you do learn the halachas of Borer, you'll avoid, it's not such a big deal, you'll avoid violating the halachas. You just have to, it's a question of whether you actually learn the halachas or not. So Baruch Hashem, here you are, here we are together. So let's turn to Siman Shin Yud Tes. We're going to talk about Borer. Okay? It's all the same basic idea. Zoreh, the additional chiddush, is that you're harnessing the forces of nature. Winnowing, yeah. People don't usually winnow.
No, I'm saying like winnowing, but I'm saying there are technical terms for all of them, but like you can say it's not going to mean anything to like a normal person.
Yeah. Okay, this is a simon about the malacha of Borer. There are a few malachas that actually get their own simon. So one of them is Borer. Let's start with the Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura gives an intro to Siman Shin Yud Tes. So if you look in the Mishnah Brura, there's a paragraph before Sif Katan Aleph where he starts with Hinei Borer. You see it? Raise your hand if you have the place there in the Mishnah Brura. Hinei Borer. See it?
Yeah, yeah.
Jacob, you have it?
Yeah.
Hinei Borer. Jonathan, you have it? Shul, you have it? So show him where it is.
Oh, Haborer. Okay.
No. In the Mishnah Brura.
In the Mishnah Brura. It's
all the way at the bottom.
Here you go.
All the way at the bottom. Oh, yeah, here we go. Hinei Borer, hu echad min.
Okay. So he says like this, Hinei Borer, hu echad milamed tes avos melachos shel Shabbos. Borer is one of the 39 primary categories of melacha on Shabbos. V'chayov v'nele gam kein chatos b'shogeg u'misa b'meizid k'mo ashar melochos. So he says, you're chayev. If you do it on purpose, you're chayev what?
You're
chayev misa. Or if there's no witnesses, you're chayev kares. If you do it b'shogeg, you're chayev korban chatos. He says, uvavonoseinu arabim. What does that mean?
Our great sins.
Due to our great sins, harbei anoshim nichsholim b'yisr boder. Many people
fail.
They make mistakes. They stumble when it comes to the malach of boder. And this is the same thing b'zman hazeh. V'alkein era levoyer osa b'ezer Hashem b'chol prata. Therefore, I want to explain it very clearly, all its details, because it's confusing. Just this is one of those things where the details are such that just growing up in a Shomer Shabbos house, you may or may not have, you probably do not know all the details. It's not necessarily automatic that you pick up all the details.
It's not so complicated, though.
It's not so complicated.
Make it out, like it comes up so often. Complicated.
Not that it's so complicated, just you need to know. That's all. You just need to learn.
Naturally, you do it naturally.
Okay. V'akdim l'zasim akdama k'sara. He says, I'm going to give you a little akdama. A little intro. V'hu, and it goes like this. Ein chalis erboim ratara kiyim be'echad mishlosha afanim. He says, you need one of three criteria in order to violate the Yisr Dereis of Borer. One of three criteria, as follows. Shaz derech birahi kein b'chol. Number one, in Borer psoles mina ochel. Okay, if you take away, if you have a mixture, okay, there's only Borer if you have a mixture. You can only separate things if you have a mixture. If you take away the bad from the good, you leave the good and you take away, you remove the bad, then you have violated the malach of Borer. Even if you do it by hand, and even if you do it for immediate use, you are chayiv. You violated a malacha d'oraisa. Because that's the normal way it's done on a weekday. You take out the chaff from the kernels. That is the normal way of borin. That's option number one to violate this malacha d'oraisa. Option number two, imhu borer b'chli sh'derech livrar ba. To use a
Gemara means a sieve. It uses a sieve.
Okay, thank you. So to use a kli that's commonly used for borer, kegon b'nafa uchvara, like a sifter, a sieve, chayv afilu hu borer ochel min apsolus v'dayichut alechel miyad jekein derech haborer b'chli. Okay, so even if you're being borer for immediate use and you're borer the good stuff, you're taking the good stuff away from the bad stuff, doesn't matter, you're chayav. Go down to Gimel, I skipped a couple of lines. And finally, afilu mu borer ochel min apsoles, uviyado, ach shedaito lechol lachar zman chayav. Finally, even if I pick out the bad from the good, and I don't use a kli, but I'm doing it to store for later, chayav midaraisa.
Yeah, but
It's not,
it's only okay if I fulfill the following three criteria. One second, no. I avoid all three. I have to avoid all three, and then it's mutter. That's what he says here. V'eino mutter livror ki in b'ofen shizor b'chalash lo shofanim. It's only mutter to be borer if I am careful about all of these three criteria. Da'ainu, sheyivor ha'ochel min apsoles, you remove the good from the bed, and not the other way around. The gam shabriya biyodu v'lo b'chli. I have to do it by hand and not with a kli. The gam shiya daito lechol miyad, and I have to. It has to be done in order for immediate use. Shehoz lav derech briri el derech achiloi. Because then, if you do that, that's not derech brira. It's derech achila, as we've discussed. The malachos, and this malachos is no exception, is part of a process of production. Okay, not a process of consumption. If you're doing it in a manner which is a process of consumption, that is permitted. That's not the malacha. Okay, so we're gonna summarize in a second. No. We'll discuss the details of this. What is the definition of all of these three criteria? There's what to discuss about each of the criteria. Okay? I'm gonna put it on the board. In order for your sorting, your separation to be permitted, you have to have three criteria. Okay, you have to fulfill all three criteria, and if you fulfill only two of the three, then you probably are violating this d'oraisa. So this is really serious. Okay, number one, ochel Mitoch psolus. You have to remove the good from the bad and not the other way around. Okay, that's criteria number one. So if I have a bowl of grapes and some of them are moldy, I can't take out the moldy ones and leave the good ones. That would be a real act of boder. What I can do is I can take out the good ones and leave the bad ones. So ochel mitoch psolus. Biyad v'lo b'chli. I have to do it by hand, and what we'll discuss, what's the definition of by hand, what's the definition of a kli. Each one of these is a separate discussion in its own right. Okay? So that's category number two, criteria number two. You have to do it by hand as opposed to with a kli. And finally, you have to do it lechol miyad. It doesn't mean literally to eat, but for immediate usage. Okay, for immediate usage, miyad. My rabbi in 10th grade used to say, miyad, biyad, ochel mitoch psolus. Okay, for immediate usage, by hand and not with a specialized kli, and you take the good from the bad, not the bad from the good. As I said, each of these is a separate topic of discussion. Bezras Hashem, tomorrow we will start to have those discussions. Have a great rest of the day.
Have a good day.